Hey, hello and welcome to another Nora Faith podcast. Terry Pichet, Technical Director for the Ontario Recreation Facilities Association. My pleasure again to join you through this platform in regards to discussing some of the things that are impacting our business. So it's at times easier for me to convey the message through a tape recording than it is a guideline or best practice. It seems that more and more members are liking to tune in rather than sit down and read. So wherever you're listening to this, welcome, and again, thanks for joining me. This time I'm going to talk about the CSA Z614 Children's Play Space and Equipment Standard and the confusion in regards to do I need a certified playground inspector to be on staff? And we get that question from time to time, and I get to clarify the role that these individuals play and if in fact you need to have one on staff. And I guess the quick answer is maybe, depending on the size of your operation and how many playgrounds do you have. So why don't we maybe step back first before we move forward in regards to the conversation, so that you understand the history of what occurred, so that you can determine if in fact having a Canadian certified play space inspector is something that you want to invest in or not. So we go back a few years, let's go 10 or 15. There was a mass exodus of playground structures in the province where they were pulled out in mass. And that was basically because they were unsafe, poorly maintained, probably not the best design, well past their life expectancy, and really not a lot of engineering went into them. So, I mean, there's been playground equipment suppliers around forever, and there were some good pieces. I mean, they were basic, not as flamboyant as what the new ones are, but sometimes they were made by recreation staff. There was a time, a long time ago, that the Ministry of Recreation and Tourism actually sent out a booklet on how to create your own playground equipment out of tires and logs and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of designed so that you could be financially frugal, I guess, in regards to the investment. And often these were built often by using grants, summer grant students, and then they were just left there and they became a little bit of a liability. So time marched along, and what happened was, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on here in this discussion, the child care industry has got specific legislation that they must conform to. And so they had a risk assessment done of some of their play structures and very quickly realized that, in fact, they didn't come anywhere near current standards. So a decision was made in those facilities to pull out the playground equipment because they just no longer met what the industry standard was. So they just pulled them out en masse and they began to replace them. Well, that kind of floated over into the municipal world, and we got caught in the backdraft thinking that, well, geez, if they're pulling theirs out, we better take a hard look at ours. And we started to emulate that. We started to do the same thing, pull them out. And rightfully so, in most cases, the equipment no longer was safe, probably wasn't functional, and again, not a big investment put into it. So we started to pull them out. The reality was is that we could have repaired them to make them safe. There was no legal requirement for us to pull them out. There was a memo that went out internally for child care centers that said that they would pull them out, but there was no requirement by law. Now, I will talk about the key player and who is the kind of the playground police, and that's your local public health. So public health would have got involved with the child care center, and they may have floated into municipalities, and they would have possibly applied the same pieces of legislation that child care centers were doing. And they do have that authority to make the recommendations. They don't have the authority to actually make you pull it out. So again, it comes down to our responsibilities as the owners of the facilities. So we've got a couple of pieces of legislation that you need to be aware of. You don't necessarily need to go out and purchase them, but ultimately the CSA Z614 Children's Play Space and Equipment Standard is available through the CSA website. And it basically is the last one, I believe, that I could find where it had been updated. And there may be newer ones that are out there. And it would reach back to 1990. That's how far back the standard actually has been around. So there's been always some form of attempt to provide suggestions on how this play structure should be created. Now, what you need to do is you need to take a look at the CSA standard for play spaces and equipment the same way as you would the building code. So when your recreation facility, the actual structure with the cement and concrete was built, it would have been built to the building code of the time. And, you know, a lot of these buildings are now getting to be 50 years old. So they were built to the building code that was 50 years old. So is it equivalent to today's building code? Absolutely not. Now, do I have an obligation to update my facility to the building code every time a new one comes out? No, I don't. But I got to balance that as a facility manager. I mean, how far off base am I? And is it reasonable for me to make some changes to bring it up to the current building code? And that becomes the tricky part. And again, I always come back to, you know what, that's really our job as facility managers, as information brokers. We're going to be able to deal with things that are sitting on our plate individually and fix them. Or ultimately, what we're going to do is we're going to make our supervisors, managers, and administrators aware of these gaps that exist, and we make our recommendations. And if it falls on deaf ears, so be it. We do the best we can with what we've got, but we've remained diligent in regards to our responsibilities when it comes to maintaining play structures. So we go back to the public health inspector. They're basically the organizing group of professionals that are going to look into any type of complaints that are associated with playgrounds. And as you may have heard in other podcasts or courses materials, the complexities with the public health inspector system across the province is fairly difficult. And that became very apparent during the pandemic. What we need to understand is that there are region-to-region specific health departments that will take care of those areas, and they will focus on specific things that are happening in that region, and they may not be equal across the province. So one area may become very focused on indoor air quality, or they may become very focused on food preparation areas and training, etc. And you may have some that are very very aggressive when it comes to playgrounds. So it's left up to each department to figure out what their priorities are. Our primary responsibility legally is the Occupiers Liability Act. So ultimately, as we share with you in both Legal 1 and Legal 2, that's our responsibility as an occupier of the premise to make sure that we take care in all circumstances to make sure that the environment is safe for all that we invite onto the property. So that's our responsibility as a facility manager. And then ultimately what I have to do is then figure out how far off of the current standard my play structures are, and then make those recommendations in regards to making those changes. Now, when we talk specifically about the CSA standards, really where that gets applied is if you're installing a brand new play structure in a park or a parquet, ultimately whoever you're purchasing the equipment from is going to have to make sure that it meets the current standard for both the design and the installation. Now, what we do know is the courts from time to time have said, is it reasonable for an update to occur on playground structure because the child has got hurt? And the answer from the courts is yes. So we'll get to the role of the CCPI, or the Canadian Certified Park Inspector, and what role they will play as we move along here. So do I need one? Legally, I don't. I mean, I don't have to have a CCPI, a Canadian Certified Park Inspector, on staff. But what I do need to have is competent staff that are going to be able to take a look at the play structures that we have in place and keep it up to a certain standard. So as long as the facility manager, I design a program and train staff to, you know, check the S-hooks and check for entrapments and check for unsafe conditions and take, you know, the right steps to correct this stuff, I'm going to be well on my way. So what we'd like to suggest is that the role of a CCPI is something that I need to consider as a facility manager as part of my focus of asset management. Is it reasonable for every 3 years or every 5 years for me to retain a certified park inspector? Absolutely. So I can have an individual come in and do an evaluation and assessment of everything we have in place and give me an update on things that should be corrected or might be corrected or should be replaced. And then I can act accordingly. Is that being diligent? Absolutely it is. So as long as that I've got the individual on staff that can actually monitor the equipment and take the necessary actions, I'm being very diligent in regards to our operations. And then I backfill it by having, like I said, the CCPI come in. Now, if I'm thinking investing in these individuals, what I need to consider as facility manager is that once I pay for the course, and it's fairly expensive, and I get the individual certified, we need to appreciate that the certification is portable. It's going to leave with that staff member should they choose to leave my operation. So that's a whole internal conversation. Sometimes they will swing a deal with an individual that they'll invest in them to get the certification, but they have to remain employed with the operation, let's say, for 5 years. And if they leave sooner, then it's prorated and they're forced to pay back a portion of the investment in the certification, which has obviously made them more employable. Now, if I really would like to have a CCPI on staff, what I have to do is build it into the job description. And I'm looking to hire somebody who, in fact, arrives with that accreditation. If you've listened to me before, I always talk about self-investment in regards to making myself more employable. So the question would become is, if you have a certified place-based inspector certificate, who actually paid for it? Your employer, or did you pay for it? And if the individual actually paid for it, then you've got somebody who's committed in respect to their requirements to have the right tools to be able to move forward. So if I build it into the job description, then I make it as part of the hiring process, and that is something that I have to decide. What in fact is going to move forward. So my responsibility to the facility manager is obviously to take care of the space. And then you've heard us talk on several occasions about what defines a recreation facility. So a playground, in fact, is a recreation facility. And so it should be approached the same way as the bricks and mortar operations that we have underneath our portfolios. And what I need to do is I need to add these to my asset management plan. So hopefully you've already bought into the RFAM software program and you've started to make that inventory being able to move forward. And once I've got the asset management plan, then I get to, start to put in place all of the mechanics that have to unfold for me to be able to make sure that I maintain these operations. Now, what I want is signage, and our good friends at IPE, Intact Public Entities, are always reminding of the importance of having adequate signage, and I'm not going to revisit everything that needs to be on a signage. We do have lots of information on our website, and IPE's got some really good information on signage in these areas that need to be considered when creating their own. Then I've got to come up with a detailed inspection and maintenance plan for these areas so that staff are clearly directed in regards to what their responsibilities are. And then I have to come up with how I'm going to collect that data and put action towards anything that in fact has been found. So once I've got that in place, then what I really need to do is, and hopefully this is now becoming standard operating practice inside our industry, is I got to create what I'm referring to as an operational timeline and budget. So anytime that you get a new playground, often this infrastructure is passed along to a department, but they don't necessarily give us additional resources to be able to maintain it. So once I've got a plan in place in regards to the expectations that are going to happen for the maintenance and upkeep of the infrastructure, then I got to put money towards it to figure out what it's going to cost. And if you take an average season of April till the end of October, and then I'm going to secure it, remove all the pieces, and you know, make sure that it's not going to be used during the winter months, I can quickly come down and say, you know what, how many times do I want this inspected in a week? So I'm going to have some peak periods, obviously, the warm months that are going to maybe require a little bit more attention, or I'm going to adopt an inspection schedule of three times a week, depending on, you know, what makes sense based on the age, the design, and the actual upkeep of it. And then I can start to break down the costs. And so, for an example, I may want to put vehicle costs. So every time that they need to drive to that playground and conduct an inspection or do some maintenance, it's going to cost me $25 or $50. Then I'm going to build in staff travel time to get there and back. So there's, let's say, another $25. And then we're going to say, look, at there, well, staff's on site, it cost me $100 in staff time and such for every visit. So then I start to say it's $50 every visit. And then three visits a week is $450 times 28 weeks. Well, the budget needs to reflect $12,600. At least now I've got a cost that's associated to maintain it, and it can be adjusted. And any time that they want to reduce staffing costs, then I got to remember that these are the things that, in fact, are going to be ultimately lost as part of that reduction. So sometimes senior management doesn't always understand the impact, and that's my responsibility as the facility manager. So RFAM gives us all the tools that we need in regards to maintaining all our infrastructure. You've heard me say this before, that asset management is facility management, and facility management is asset management. So if you haven't bought into RFAM and the asset management plan, it's, like I said, available to you at no cost as an ORFA member. You can go in and play with it so that you can understand how it works and build your resume so that you're prepared to answer those questions as you move forward in redeveloping your career and where it is that you want to go. Now, one of the tools that comes with RFAM that, again, could be either a really big asset or a really big pain in the butt is that I, in fact, can open up a work order. And on the signage, I can have a QR code, for an example, where if somebody found an unsafe playground, that they could take the QR code, they could click it, and they automatically could open up a work order for something that they discovered. They can take a picture of a broken swing, for example, or you know, maybe an S-hook that is starting to come apart, and it's automatically going to come to my desk that, in fact, an outside set of eyes have discovered a potential risk that I can act upon. Again, everything comes down to our ability to be able to identify these problems and then take appropriate action. That's really what we're trying to do to defend the way that we manage our operations and the way that we act upon the things that we find. So hopefully that's provided a little bit of clarity in regards to the role of a certified Canadian place-based inspectors. You know that the ORFA is a large investor in certification, the importance it plays in regards to our operations. It's my job as a facility manager to figure out where each one of these components fit into the way that I want to conduct my business. So there's no legal requirement for any certifications, but they sure do help me support what I am responsible for as a facility manager. So hopefully that has been somewhat educational for you. Again, thanks for joining me. And until next time, you guys stay safe out there. Take care.